This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 433 of Shutters Inc. Hi, how are you going?
Hi. Hello.
This is going to be quick.
This is going to be even faster than that.
Is it?
It's going to be so quick, it's going to be over before you even know it.
Right. Good talking to you. Bye.
Excellent. Bye. That was an excellent episode.
That was the best we've ever done.
Now I'm going to go watch the football and watch my team get slotted.
Yes, who are you playing this week?
Who we're losing to.
I should have said, who are you losing to this week?
This week we'll be losing to Port Adelaide.
You're playing in Adelaide, aren't you?
Yeah, in the hometown, so that's always nice for the home team to have a massive win like that.
Yes.
And feel good about themselves. Minutes before the game starts, our best player pulls out sick. So what was going to be a slacking is now going to be a double slacking.
Right.
With extra slack.
Right.
Let's make this fast because I'd like to make myself miserable before bedtime.
Absolutely. So we're dedicating this episode to Stan Harrison.
Or, as he's also known, Stanley Harrison.
Oh, is that correct?
Well, I was watching a David Bowie live video the other day, which he used to play with Bowie.
Right.
And he's introducing the band, and he introduced him as Stanley Harrison.
Right.
Which I'm sure he must hate.
Right. Only his mother calls him Stanley.
So we'll call it Stan Lee Harrison episode.
Not to be confused with Marvel Comics.
So who is Stan Lee? Who's Stan Harrison?
Well, you should tell the story. You're the guy who brought him into the circle.
Exactly. Well, he's a mate of mine who plays sax, and he's been in town and your town, my town and your town this week, with a band called Little Stephen and the Disciples of Soul.
Yep.
And he's a sax player for Bowie, Radiohead, Talking Heads. You know, Once in a Lifetime, the song Once in a Lifetime. He was on that. He recorded on that.
Is that right?
Found out this week. Yeah. So tons and tons of other world famous acts. He's been the man.
Yep.
So he's been in town.
Yep.
And I caught up with him on Easter Sunday for a couple of hours and did some portraits,
which were beautiful.
Which was my only photographic session for the week. I did two. So I photographed him. And the thing is, we didn't meet till almost evening, so the light was diminishing.
Right.
And I just got, because it was Easter, I'm kind of running around doing family stuff. So I bolted to go meet him. I only found out like an hour and a half notice that he could catch up.
Oh, okay.
And it was a 50-minute drive to where he's going to be. So I didn't have much time. I quickly got my gear together, critically trying to remember battery memory card.
Because
they're kind of, I also should remember camera and lens, but battery memory card. But I thought, well, okay, the light's going. I must do some flash stuff. So I popped in a flash and I popped in a trigger. Couldn't find any batteries for the trigger, ran around, had to get a small screwdriver and pull apart one of my daughter's toys to get some stuff like batteries. Rushed into town. Whilst I'm waiting, I've just arrived a few minutes ago, I'm waiting for him. I'm trying to get the flash and the trigger to talk, and I'm pressing the test button and the thing's firing, no worries at all. Put on the camera, won't trigger. It's like, take it off camera, press the test button, fire, put on the camera, won't trigger.
Okay.
So I look at the back of the flash. I'm doing sitting the master and the slave and all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
And the flash has got this word Sony written on the screen. And I go, no, I've never seen that written on the screen. So I look at the flash. It's a Canon flash. I'm going, why is it saying Sony? So I'm testing. Then I look at the trigger. I've got a Sony trigger.
Oh.
With your bizarre Sony shoe. So, of course, they don't talk to each other.
No. So you had to do natural light.
So, I'm down to natural light. At almost now nighttime.
Yeah, right.
In a hotel foyer sort of area where there was this one table, one lamp.
Yeah.
So I had to do everything based around this one lamp.
Right.
And the lamp was very directional. That direction was straight down.
Right.
And the base was incredibly heavy, so you couldn't kind of tilt it or get any angles.
Oh, what?
So I've got this one chair, this one lamp, very directional, very small directional light to work with. And fortunately, managed to get a couple of cool shots, which is good.
Yeah, they were great.
But man, you really got to work hard, you know.
Yeah.
And that's something. Yeah, where experience. It didn't even enter my mind. I didn't even think about it. I wasn't even remotely concerned.
Yeah.
About anything. Yeah. And that I think it's the sign of once you've done something long enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, well, we'll just do the next thing. Oh, we'll just do the next thing. You just keep moving down the list of what is available to do until you find something that works.
Yeah.
You know? And without any real concern or even real conscious thought about it. Yeah. And yeah, and in the end, to suit my sort of moody style photography anyway, that narrow beam light source was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
So adds a bit of light, a bit of shadow, and I mean, once again, it didn't allow necessarily the shots you might think you were going to do.
Yep.
But it allowed the shots that could be done.
Yeah.
And that's often the situation when you're shooting. You know, you've got this idea of what you're going to do, and it doesn't work. Well, you've got to find what you can, what can be done. And that's the salvaging of any photo shoot, is what's actually possible versus what you actually wanted to do. So that was challenging, but not as challenging as two nights later, I got the photo pass.
Yep.
So photo pass to go in and shoot, and that was so hard to get. You know,
right. Like
we went back and forth with the Frontier Touring Company management and all sorts of stuff to try. But finally got this pass. You got three songs, get in, get out sort of thing. And, of course, I've got no idea about the band.
Yeah.
I've got no idea about the lighting, no idea about what kind of movements, no idea about what was going to happen.
Yeah.
No idea what kind of settings I was going to be needing to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're thinking, well, there goes one song. And what comes out is this short, fat, little Italian guy with a bandana pretty much covering his eyes.
Yep.
So short that. From your lowly angle in the pit, all you can see is microphone stand and microphone on his face is.
Yeah.
That's your angle.
He has not been photographed without headgear since 1974.
Really? So in The Sopranos, he wore a bandana?
As far as I know, I've never seen The Sopranos.
I've never seen the show either, so I couldn't tell you. But
yes.
So little Stephen, for those still bothering to care to listen to this, he was in the movie, the TV show The Sopranos for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years or however long the thing was going for.
Yep. He also did a Netflix original show called Lilyhammer.
Apparently he did, yes.
Which is a very good series.
I think he mentioned something about it on the night, I think.
Yes. And for those who haven't already twigged, he is also Bruce Springsteen's first guitarist in the E Street Band.
Yeah.
But anyway, you had fun shooting it though.
I've got some shooting. He eventually, when he got away from the stand, he played up to me a couple of times.
Nice.
Got up nice and close. Because I'm shooting all manual.
I've got to say, I was very surprised that you go on 15 to 30 because that says that you were confident you were going to get that close.
Oh, no, I stuffed up.
Oh. You meant to take a 28-70?
Well, it was more hindsight. You know, you're thinking, well, maybe a 24-70. Because I know 24-70 is extremely popular for van stuff.
Yeah.
But I like a bit wider, so I thought I'll just take the wider. And then, of course, you realise, well, you might be in the pit, but you're still 6 or 8 feet away.
Yeah. And even at 30 mil, that's a long way away.
Yeah, it's a long way away. So that was a bit challenging, you know. But someone shot at 15 mil when he's got it nice and close. But yeah. So it was a bit challenging. And I took the punt to shoot all in manual. Which would have no control over. Manual exposure,
right.
In a constantly changing light environment was. My method of shooting was simply. I always, when I'm trying to teach photography, especially more to amateurs who aren't looking for to learn how to be pros, just how to use the camera, I talk about the shutter speed and the aperture as being dimmer switches.
Right.
Okay. So it's a dimmer switch for your scene. It makes it brighter or darker.
Yeah.
So basically I was using my shutter speed dial like a dimmer switch. Every time the lights dipped, I went one way.
Yeah.
Every time the lights brightened, I just guess. Spin two or three, spin two or three, spin two or three, spin. So it's just guesswork all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah, within a reasonable.
White balance? What did you do?
Auto the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
There's nothing like a great black and white concert photo for a stuffed up auto white balance.
See, I always shoot daylight white balance for those concert gigs because I figure that way, whatever color lighting the lighting director has chosen to go with at any given moment in time, I'm going to get that color if I choose a daylight white balance.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting.
That's probably a smart move. Yeah, Yeah, what I should have done, because, I mean, is that maybe we should have Googled or YouTubed a couple of how to shoot concerts. Research or some sort of effort.
Well, for somebody who did no research, you did well, mate.
But But here's the thing, though. That same day, so A, it's been Easter. It's been school holidays. It's Easter.
Yep.
It's the first day of back to school for the kids.
Yep.
Okay. My wife needed to buy a car to start her new job this coming Monday. So we're running around trying to buy a car for all that day. We bought a car. We managed to pick up the car that afternoon, the last possible minute, fly home from about 70 kilometres away, 45 miles away, fly home, drop car, quickly change, fly outdoor back to the city for concert. Just in. So it was a fairly frenetic day. Needless to say, the last thing that was on my mind was the concert.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the music wasn't something that really floats my boat. And that was kind of funny because I was talking to Stan on the Sunday and we started mentioning a bit about music. So he's a big fan of my photography. So we're talking about a lot about photography. And he likes to shoot as well. So I was giving him some tips. I was giving some tips and taught him how to do spot metering, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we're talking about music and he asked who was coming on the night with me. I had four tickets.
Right.
So I was bringing my mate Adam, who's absolutely nuts for music and a massive Bruce Springsteen fan, as are yourself.
Yep.
He's not one of those fans. He's over the top obsessed with music, but in a good way. He's not one of those people. That's Bruce, my mate in Sydney. And I said he's really into Bruce Springsteen. Oh, I'm not much of a fan. And he goes, what? Because he used to play with Bruce as well.
Yes.
Yeah, he goes, what? I said, I'm not much of a fan of Bruce Springsteen. And he goes, do you know the kind of music we're playing on this tour? I said, yeah, it's very Springsteen-esque, isn't it? He goes, yeah. I said, but I'm coming for you, Stan, not for the music. And because I'm not, I just can't get Springsteen.
I know that you described it in a text message through the week when I texted you and said, how was the show last night? And you sent it back and said, very too much like Springsteen for my liking, you'll love it. And I've come out of the show thinking, it wasn't as Springsteen-ish as you made it sound. Like, to me,
someone who has no interest in Springsteen, who hears this annoying noise voice of his all the time, and this guy's voice sounds the same a lot often. In fact, there's trying to get bone up a little bit with my wife and I, who also came with me, were having a little listen to some of his stuff.
Yeah.
And there's this one song which is exactly like Oliver's Army from Elvis Costello.
So
So we started calling Little Elvis Springsteen. Yeah. That was his moniker for us, you know.
Well, we had a nice little surprise last night. He had Jimmy Barnes show up.
Yes, and Peter Garrett,
yeah.
So I knew Barnesy was coming. I knew that. That was telegraphed.
Yep.
But I didn't know about Peter Garrett. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I videoed both of those.
Yeah, really poor.
Yes.
I see your videos as good as your photography.
Only on the mobile phone, mate. Anyway.
I film every concert I go to. I always do a bit of video footage, and my sound always sounds great, and the video always looks really cool. Are you shooting with Apple?
No.
Oh, that's, sorry. Nothing more to say here. Move along. Nothing to see here. The Apple sound recording is phenomenal at concerts. It's just brilliant. And the video quality is amazing. So, it's like, wow. Yeah, it's like 4K of goodness,
Anyway. Right.
So I'm glad you had a great time. It's really good.
It was great.
He's a lovely guy and, a very genuine person. So we had a good catch-up.
Awesome.
Should we do a quick thing so I can go watch my football team get smashed?
Absolutely. Very quickly. What do you got?
I've got what you've got. What have you got?
Oh, okay.
I've got a couple. Let me talk a little bit of stuff first and foremost. First was an article I saw in Digital Camera World.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my friends on Facebook posted that Canon Imaging had a 23% decline in camera sales.
Is that in number of units shipped?
23% decline in units shipped in the first quarter. And this is
of 2018, not 2019.
2019.
Yeah.
Well, maybe last, whatever the last reporting quarter was, let's put it that way. And an 81% drop in operating profit.
Oi, oi, oi.
81%. It was quarter one. The imaging unit reported an 81.6% collapse in operating profit from quarter one 2018 on the back of a 23% drop in camera sales over the same period. So to give you an idea, it's gone from £178 million down to £32 million.
Yikes.
And that doesn't take into account the further £13 million lost in a complete deficit from its broadcast and cinema cameras.
Wow.
So if you separate those two units, it means they made diddly, basically.
Well, you see, the video camera market would be being cannibalized by the Red camera, because the Red...
But notice they're saying broadcast cameras and cinema cameras. They're not talking video cameras. So okay. They have their own pro video cameras, like the Red and all that sort of stuff. They have their own cinematic cameras.
Yeah.
So that market's
dwindling as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, they're very good stuff anyway. Mm. But we mentioned this a while ago, a couple of episodes ago, that where the Canon CEO made a prediction that the camera market would shrink in half in 2 years. And this is his, and they're now saying it might even be greater than that.
Yeah, right.
So, and he says we expect the market contraction to continue for another 2 to 3 years due to the rise of smartphones. Well, smartphones have been around for a while, so I don't think that's the pervasive argument that it used to be.
Well, I think it's because of the advances in smartphone camera tech. It's not just the appearance of them, because as you say, they've been around for a while. But
I've been shooting with my iPhone for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and it's been brilliant for 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
It's not like suddenly it's not exponentially better now than it was 3 or 4 years ago.
I don't know that I'd agree with that. I mean, you think of all the AI stuff that's now starting to appear with the Google Pixel.
Forget the AI. Just sort of picture quality. Because that's what's important at the end of the day. For the mum photographer who might go buy an entry-level SLR to take a photo of little Johnny, they're not talking AI pixel shift technology or any of that. They're talking about just the sheer quality of little Johnny. And little Johnny's been pretty darn good on an iPhone for 5 years or more. Because I've been shooting pro quality images with my iPhone for at least 5 years.
Sure.
Phenomenal picture quality.
You are one end of the market, and I think the majority of users who are at the opposite end of the market are interested in what the AI is bringing to the table, because it allows even more numpty-like users to get acceptable quality images, because they can know even less about photography and the AI will compensate for them.
I reckon, and I'm always right, you go out and interview people, no one will have a clue what any of those features are, and they don't use them, and they've got no idea. And I can tell, just as simple as I put one 3D photo up on Facebook, and everyone goes, what the hell is that, and how the hell does that work?
Yeah.
Also, the basic stuff that no one's got a clue how it's done.
Yeah, but so stuff like shooting 9 frames continuously and then,
But then no one knows how to do that, Bruce.
But most of those features are activated by default, aren't they? I mean, I don't have a Google Pixel, so I wouldn't know.
No one knows how to do a lot of the stuff. Now, if you shoot, for example, you could shoot a burst of 6 photos on an iPhone and then select of the 6, the best one.
Mm.
I can guarantee you 90% of iPhone users wouldn't have a clue how to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So realistically, they aim the thing, they press the button. That's all they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the picture quality has been damn good. So I just don't believe the argument of smartphones are killing the DSLR. I cannot come at it. Definitely the compact camera. Definitely the video camera. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it does not kill an SLR, because the inherent things you don't. Yes, you can do time lapse photos, long exposure, like blurred waterfall type shots with an iPhone. Yep. But I guarantee you, 99% of the people with an iPhone don't know how to do it, because I've been teaching pros how to do it on their phone. They never knew the feature existed. So it's not like if anyone's going to know, they should know, and they didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
It's to me, I just think there's a complete decline of interest.
Right.
What they've got that they bought 5 years ago is still damn good.
Yeah.
If they've got an SLR from 5 or 6 or 8 years ago, it was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
If they're casual shooters, they've got a great SLR that takes great photos. Why would they want to come out and buy the latest and greatest?
Yeah.
What's happening is it's shrinking back to that film day when the art of the SLR camera was an aficionado product. Right. And the aficionado was a small segment of the market. Mm-hmm. And the mom and pop used the Kodak Brownie, the box camera, the point and shoot camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that whole market's dead because of the phone. Yeah. So I can't. I think just the overall lack of interest. I mean, look at your 850. How old was that?
9 years.
How good were the photos out of it?
Oh, bloody good.
Exactly.
You know, my main desire to upgrade was low light performance.
I know, but if you don't shoot ISO, low light shots that require ISO, perfectly good camera.
Oh, absolutely.
So for Auntie Betty who goes out on for a Sunday picnic and takes photos of little Johnny, that 7-year-old camera, 9-year-old camera, whatever it was,
is still fantastic. Perfectly adequate. Yeah,
and that's the problem. And it's the same with iPads.
Yeah.
You know, who needs to update an iPad? An iPad from 3 years ago effectively is as good as an iPad now.
Yeah.
For what people use them for, and the only thing that's going to change is if something dramatically changes in the product, or, and this is why Apple do it, they phase out the compatibility of the software with the apps, so the upgraded apps will no longer work on the old iPads.
That's right. They basically force you to buy new hardware.
And you think about it, that's fairly smart. Because they know this product's so good that unless it breaks, people are going to keep on using
it. It's smart of the company. It's stupid of the users for supporting it.
Exactly. Yeah, but they know the users are idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why we need all this smart technology because we're not. That's why we need all this AI, Bruce.
That's it.
Help us all we can, you know. We need artificial intelligence because it's bugger all real intelligence. So anyway, I found that article was once again fairly amazing, and they are dedicating a significant amount of their future to mirrorless, and the rest to things like automotive and business imaging. So, DSLR is on its way down in a big way. Now, I've got another. I sent you through some stuff. Did you see the stuff I sent through to you?
I have got them here. Yes.
So there's one there called No Hope.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. Jupiter and the moon composited into the one shot to give you an idea of how big Jupiter looks in the background.
But see, amazing image. First up, none of us are ever going to capture an image this good.
Well, ever. This has been composited. I don't think it's one single image.
Oh, it's definitely not. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
No one, we can't capture an image that good.
Yeah.
99.999% of the people who take photos will never do what this guy did.
No.
To get it. So
for a start, you need a freaking telescope.
Massive telescope, right? Expensive telescope, expensive
adapters.
Eyepiece adapters. It's 9 photos of the moon, edited and stacked to give clarity and sharpness.
Yeah.
But then Jupiter is a 1-minute video.
Jesus.
Okay. Where the best 1,200 frames were extracted. Okay. Then 80% of them were stacked on top of each other, then sharpened and cleaned up in Photoshop.
Jeez.
1,200. I don't know why the best 1,200 were selected. They only did 80% of them. I don't know. But who's going to do this, Bruce? Who's going to go out there and extracting frames out of video to get the best ones and then stacking and sharpening and compositing?
But seriously, that's like a 1,000-layer Photoshop document.
Exactly. And the problem is, people look at the photos on the internet. I saw someone again complaining about the why should I shoot anymore? I go on the internet, see all this amazing stuff that I'll never be able. No one's going to be able to create this. NASA would have trouble doing this.
Yeah.
So people go on the internet and they see photos that are just beyond the realm of possibility, realistically.
Yeah.
And get disheartened and gone.
Yeah.
You know. So you take a crappy photo of the moon yourself that you were happy with until you go online and see that and you just bin it. you just bin it. Now, next article I've got there is a woman who shoots anti selfies. Yes,
Steph.
By dying at famous landmarks.
That's awesome.
And what I just love her pose.
Yes.
Face down.
Face down, arms and legs in all directions. It's great.
So Steph Dies is a photographic performance art series that chronicles a life.
Yeah.
Chronicles a death. But each photo is an anti-selfie. I love it.
And what I love is the fact that there's always some onlooker who's just staring at her like, what the hell is this woman doing? And obviously has no idea.
I love the one where she's in front of all the buskers dead by the side of the road. and the one coming down the castle steps or whatever they are. Some funny stuff there. So yeah. I put that in my own amusement more than anything else.
I will put in the link that Glyn has sent me to the Petapixel article, but I will also put in the link to her website, which is stephdyes.com. And that was sent in by Steve Peters as well. So, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Got nice. His point, I think. I saw an article that I thought was interesting that being a photographer was listed in the top 25 worst jobs to have in America.
Wow.
The worst job. And I think it was mostly based on income.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, are you getting the minimum wage? And most photographers, based on the Bureau of Labor Statistics, photographers reported annual wages of less than the median wage.
Wow. And while average jobs in the U.S. is projected to have an employment growth of 7% in the decade from 2016 to 2026, the Bureau of Labor Stats predicts that photography jobs will decline by 5.6% in that same span.
Yeah. My goodness, what a wonderful world we live in. Totally. That's all I had. So you had a few bits?
Well, there was a bunch of stuff from David Marland. He said, "Hi, guys, couldn't resist this recent spate of selfie-related stuff. Perhaps it is Darwin at work. Best regards, David." He's got four different links. I'll just read out the titles and I'll put the links in the show notes. Tourists could face death penalty for taking selfies as planes land next to Phuket Beach.
That death penalty has been debunked already as being completely untrue.
I did think that it sounded a little extreme.
Yeah.
So why is India the world capital for selfie deaths and what's being done to stop it? Jaguar attacks woman who crossed barrier to take selfie at Arizona Wildlife Park, and angry Bambi, tourists teasing deer for Instagram selfies attacked in record numbers in Japan. So some of those you can just get by on the headline alone, but if you want to check it out, I'll put the link in the show notes. Steve Peters sent us three different stories, one of which we've just mentioned, which was stephdyes.com. The next one was Leica China. Video sparks a backlash over Tiananmen Square image. I haven't had a chance to read the story. Are you up on this story, Glenn?
Well, all I heard was that the word Leica has been banned on Chinese social media.
Right.
That's sort of the headline I saw. Leica China video sparks backlash, blah, blah, blah. That's
Featuring a Tiananmen Square image of the guy standing in front of the tank.
Yeah, and Leica video features.
Oh, is that it? They just used an historic photo in their promo, and that's it. For that, they're on the naughty list.
Yeah, but there is no mention of Tiananmen Square in Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, right.
You do not talk about Tiananmen Square, even in China these days. You don't go, so where were the tanks?
First rule of Tiananmen Square is you do not
don't
talk.
Mention Tiananmen Square. Yeah, so it's still a very taboo subject.
Right.
China. So.
And the last one from Steve was on fstoppers.com, and this is about another, I think he's an Australian photographer, Andrew Quilty, who has had his invitation to the World Press Photo Foundation gala thingamajiggy revoked. But what's really weird about this story, and I don't know if you've heard any details, but it seems that everything I've looked at has said that even he doesn't know what it is he's been accused of.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff still ongoing with this, and I haven't been keeping up to find out where it's at. But there's no simple sort of suggestion as to what's going on, or he's necessarily done anything particular, or whether he's having a spat with someone, or what. You know, so I don't know anymore.
The World Press Photo Foundation has said our protocol is that when we learn from reliable sources that someone associated with us has allegedly engaged in inappropriate behaviour, we take action. But later on in the article, it says organisers failed to disclose the nature of the accusations. Quilty did respond, though, claiming World Press Photo hasn't disclosed the details of the reports received. He said, "No allegations of inappropriate behaviour have been made known to me. As a supporter of my female colleagues and the Me Too movement, I would frankly and openly address any concerns about my conduct if raised." So that tends to suggest that he must have some clue as to what the allegation is about, because it obviously relates to gender bias or, you know, in some way he's, you know, downplayed the significance of women in photography, I'm guessing. For him to have mentioned those things, it must involve that in some way, shape or form. But
who knows? Yeah. No, that's kind of what you're... Inappropriate behaviour is the first thing you think about, of course. But I like this. So we're cancelling invitations now because of gossip rather than proof of misconduct, or an actual crime, an indictment. My, aren't we hypersensitive and signalling our virtue? #mob mob sanctimony. We are a world quick to outrage.
Absolutely.
And we got the facts behind the stuff.
Yeah, and we got four stories from Adam over the last couple of weeks. The first one was 500px owner, that is the company which owns 500px, slammed for claiming the copyright on the first black hole image.
Hey, what now?
Right, so 2 weeks ago we were talking about how NASA's just pulled off this amazing feat of actually photographing a black hole for the first time ever. And the owners of 500px went and slapped a copyright ownership claim on the image. And naturally got spanked pretty badly by the industry for doing so.
Well, this is a good try.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, next story from Adam is photographer captures alien attack that turns out to be a NASA study. I haven't actually had a chance to read this one either, but NASA was conducting a study in Norway that resulted in out-of-this-world night sky photos, and which had photographers in the area scratching their heads. So I'm just going by the image that's in the shot. That's some pretty radical-looking
display. It's flying jellyfish.
Yes, exactly. I was just thinking something like that, yeah. So
bizarre.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a video in that article as well. So if you want to check that out, go right ahead. Next one from Adam, again from Petapixel. I really like this. The Lit Flash, L-I-T, is an off-camera xenon flash for smartphone photographers.
Not the first.
Isn't it?
No.
Okay. Even so, pretty grim.
Even so. But the problem with all the previous ones has been not enough power.
Okay.
So what's the power on this one, do you think? Does it say?
I don't know.
I love the example photos. Wow, I mean, they're really, really selling it to me. A woman holding a handbag in the air and then that same handbag brighter. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the next one down with the girl's a little better.
Yep.
Got a soft light.
Flash power settings of 1:1:1/256.
That doesn't mean anything.
No. Flash duration of 1/350 of a second.
Doesn't mean anything.
1:1 power or 1/30,000 of a second at 1/256 power. High speed sync for shutter speeds doesn't as fast care. As Who a 1/10,000 of a second on your phone. And a no recycle one cares. Time of 0.1 to 2.5 seconds.
No one cares. No one cares.
Built in 2800 milliamp hour lithium
no one cares.
Ion battery. 200 full power flashes, 400 doesn't real matter. Life usage.
Means nothing.
I'm not actually seeing it like a luminosity.
There you go. There's the problem. It can range from full power down to 1/256. What's the full power?
Yeah.
If it only lights 1 foot, or does it light 10 foot? Or does it light 20 foot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it can do 300 flashes. Well, at full power, great. Is it 1 foot?
Yeah. 5 foot, yeah, exactly. 10 foot?
Or 20 foot.
Yeah.
It's recycle time of how far? 1 foot. All that matters is power. Everything else is negotiable, you know? There was a photo of them of at nighttime lighting up a fairly big wall. Based on, the one on the left is actually a normal iPhone's light.
right?
Flash versus so it looks like it's got some. So I'm not having to go if it's got some power, fabulous. But tell us what the power is.
Yeah.
Don't just waffle over the stuff that's actually not that important.
Yeah. And the last one from Adam from DIYphotography.net. This long-term time-lapse camera can run for a month off 4 AA batteries. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're fresh AA batteries.
Yes, one would hope. The Aphidus ATL200 from Time Lapse Cameras is one solution to this problem, offering a month of shooting on just 4 AA batteries.
Fresh AA batteries.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Available for pre-order now.
That's just putting the same lit test to it.
Yeah.
What brand of batteries?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Are they the cheap alkaline ones you get at your local supermarket, or we're talking the lithium energizers?
Who knows?
How many shots? So that could be one shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a time, like 1 month time lapse. You can do one photo a month. that's your one shot. Is that like one shot every 30 seconds for a month? I mean, all this stuff makes a difference.
Yeah, totally.
Of the actual usability. If it's one photo a day for a month or one photo every 30 seconds for a month, that's a huge
massive difference in output. Yeah, totally.
Got usage and so on, yeah, but funny.
Yeah. And that is going to do it for this week, because I've got to get all this edited and mixed and published in the next 12 hours. So.
Why? What are you up to? What are you doing?
Tomorrow, which is Saturday, is Kath's and my wedding anniversary, and we're
happy
going...
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
We're going on a three-day, three-night
little cruise out into the ocean and back. We don't make landfall. It's just a comedy cruise.
Turns around, comes back.
Yeah.
The drunk tank.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So
that's where all the grooms going on their bucks nights, all the girls going on their hens nights.
Oh, okay.
All the boy parties, all the girl parties, drunk fest.
Yeah, right.
It's not completely like that. There's several nice people on them usually.
Fantastic.
No, they're the few that have had that couple issues over the last year where they've had to, the police go on board and take people.
Right. Excellent.
So you just go, what if it's really rough weather? This is what concerns me about these. At least if you're going to land, you kind of can get off a bit.
Yeah. Well, if it's rough, it's rough. You're stuck for 3 days.
No, you got lots of activities on there, though, isn't it, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a comedy cruise, so there's a bunch of comedians on board, and yes, there will be alcohol and there will be food and all that sort of stuff.
Comedy is usually better after the alcohol, so
yes,
exactly. The more you drink, the funnier they are.
That's right.
Well, have a lovely time. I'm off to see the opening night of Barnum, the musical.
What's Barnum?
Well, it's the musical of Barnum from...
The circus people?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's basically, this has been around a long time, this show. It's basically what they adapted to make The Greatest Showman. Yeah, it's the same story, but it's been around a long time as a stage show.
Right.
So opening night in Melbourne, so we're taking the girls to that. It'll be a bit of fun.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, have fun.
I shall.
All right, mate.
Have fun. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Will do.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Shutters Inc. Another audiotu.com quality podcast. For questions, comments and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.